As I mentioned to the children, today we are celebrating the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The early church celebrated the ascension 40 days after Easter, which always lands on a Thursday. Convenient, isn't it? That Sunday to Thursday always ends up being that 40 days. The early church celebrated the ascension 40 days after Easter because our reading from the Acts tells us that Jesus continued to appear to his friends in Jerusalem for 40 days after Easter until he ascended into heaven. 40 days. Now, you remember the number 40 in regard to the scriptures before, from Noah to Mount Sinai to wandering in the desert to Jesus himself praying in the desert. What those stories have in common is that the number 40 in the Bible is always an indicator that God is about to reveal God's self in a new and powerful way. That's what we hear when we hear the number 40. And so it's amazing to me that the disciples in this story are once again so obtuse. The way that the story of the ascension goes, Jesus had come back from the dead. You remember that part, right? Jesus had come back from the dead and was teaching and preaching about peace and forgiveness and how these are to be the central values of our lives instead of violence and vengeance. And after 40 days of that, the disciples asked, "So, is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" Basically, what they said was, okay, we've heard all of that that you're saying, all this stuff about forgiveness and peace, but now can you use your powers to take out our enemies? I always have suspected that Jesus, after hearing that, must have sighed the biggest sigh that the universe has ever heard. In fact, I think that it may have been his exhalation that propelled him up into heaven. All joking aside, this text is a powerful reminder about human nature and the fact that we often don't learn lessons, don't embody and integrate what we've learned until we're on our own, whether that's out of the house or out of the classroom. We don't learn and we don't integrate until we are put in a place where we have to do it ourselves. And so the ascension is a powerful story of Jesus nudging his fledgling apostles out of the nest, knowing that they won't embody what he has been teaching, unless they have to do it on their own. If the centrality of Jesus' teaching about peace and forgiveness didn't come across loud and clear while he was alive, after he resurrected, it was deafening. There is not one report of Jesus appearing after Easter and seeking vengeance. There's nothing that tells us about him judging the people who had falsely accused him, tortured, and then executed him. No, he comes back saying, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you." When he ascends, he leaves us, his disciples, to implement what he modeled. Of course, this year, the church's celebration of the Ascension integrates with our secular celebration of Mother's Day. Do any of you know the origins of Mother's Day? You almost always know my questions, so I should keep you. Does anybody know the origins of Mother's Day? It has nothing to do with the sweet Hallmark holiday that we have come to know. It's nothing about chocolates or flowers or brunch. It has nothing to do even with honoring the women who gave us life or those who have nurtured and nourished us and helped us to be the people we are today. Even though it's true that many moms need this, the origins of Mother's Day don't even rest in the idea of rest for mothers. No, the origins of Mother's Day reach back to 1870, shortly after the Civil War and the Franco-Prussian War. Julia Ward Howe was a socialist, abolitionist, and feminist who wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation in the shadow of those two wars that wreaked such devastation, and she was writing in reaction to the devastation and the carnage. Have you heard the phrase, "If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy"? Well, in a lot of ways, that original call for a day to honor mothers taps into that idea. So many women were devastated by the experience of losing their husbands and sons and fathers and their daughters and friends and aunts and mothers, for that matter. They were so devastated by the experience of war that they understood that a profound social shift was needed. So many women's lives were broken by the cycle of violence that not only were they not happy, the entire society was broken and unhappy. Broken because of our inhumanity toward one another, toward some other mother's children. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? This proclamation is just as relevant today as it was in 1870. And while it's not short, in light of the ascension and its highlighting of the Easter values of radical peace and forgiveness, I'd like to share the proclamation with you. Howe writes, "Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts." That would be all of us. "Arise, all women who have hearts, whether our baptism be of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons will not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them about charity and mercy and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender toward those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. Each bearing not after his own time the sacred impress not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women without limit of nationality gather to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, and the great and general interests of peace. That's the beginning of Mother's Day. That is what we are called to remember, that every person that we interact with, every person that we lift up or whom we tear down, is some mother's child. Julia Ward Howe's 1870 Mother's Day proclamation was about unlearning the behaviors of war, about recognizing that every person who is killed in a war, no matter what their stance, was some mother's child. And in that, there can be no triumph in violence, because every act of violence breaks some mother's heart. The Mother's Day Proclamation is about promoting alliances and understanding of one another and peace. It's about recovering the fact that each of us bears the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. Friends, the ascension is about Jesus ascending into heaven, but even more, it's about Jesus empowering his disciples to now live what he taught, to embody his radical peace and his healing forgiveness. Mother's Day is about honoring mothers, but even more, it's about committing ourselves to raising children who embody Christ's values, about creating a society where all mothers' children are valued. Both are about radically shifting our values from those of this world, of dominance and power and control, to those of God, which are mercy and compassion and healing and hope. And so on this Ascension Mother's Day, may we honor our mothers and our God by embodying Christ's forgiveness and peace. Alleluia and amen.